If you have your Bibles, turn with me back this morning to 1 Kings chapter 8 as we continue to look at the purpose of the house of God as reflected in Solomon's prayer at the dedication of the first temple. Now that prayer illustrates that the house of God has always been a vital place for approaching God in prayer, for following God in righteousness, for crying out to God for forgiveness, for discovering the possibility of restoration, for seeking relief in life's afflictions, for experiencing and extending God's gracious welcome, for drawing strength for life's battles, and for being transformed through God's grace in repentance. We have seen that tremendous help is provided, and awesome possibilities occur when we come to the house of God in faith and dependence on the Lord, when we cry out to Him in prayer. And this morning we discover that the house of God is intended to be a place of renewal. In 1 Kings chapter 8, verses 54 through 61, we're told when Solomon had finished praying this entire prayer and supplication to the Lord, he rose from before the altar of the Lord, from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread toward heaven. And he stood and blessed all the assembly of Israel with a loud voice, saying, "Blessed be the Lord, who has given rest to his people Israel, according to all that he promised. Not one word has failed of all his good promises, which he promised through Moses, his servant. May the Lord our God be with us as he was with our fathers. May he not leave us or forsake us, that he may incline our hearts to himself, to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his ordinances, which he commanded our fathers. And may these words of mine, with which I have made supplication before the Lord, be near to the Lord our God day and night, that he may maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel as each day requires, so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord is God. There is no one else. Let your heart, therefore, be wholly devoted to the Lord our God, to walk in his statutes and to keep his commandments as at this day." As Solomon blessed the people at the end of his prayer, he seemed to acknowledge how busy, how forgetful, how distracted we can be. So he prayed that the house of God would be a place of renewal. And his words remind us how the house of God invites us to reaffirm again and again our dependence on God. You see, in this place, we remember God's goodness. That's one of the primary reasons we gather. And in verse 56, Solomon acknowledged God's goodness to his people and the rest and security that God had provided. Look at verse 56. "Blessed be the Lord, who has given rest to his people Israel according to all that he has promised." Now Solomon knew the history of his people. He knew that God had delivered them from slavery, that he had provided the promised land, and gave them victory over much more numerous and more powerful enemies. And then during Solomon's reign, the nation had rest on all sides, as well as the additional blessings of material prosperity. They had much to remember. They had so many blessings to acknowledge. They had so much to reflect on regarding the goodness of God. Well, today we do well to pause from our responsibilities, to take a break from the busyness of our lives, to shut out the world in an effort to remember and reflect on what God has so graciously provided. That's important. Because we live in a world of constant complaints, endless grumbling, widespread dissatisfaction, and incessant murmuring. So Solomon points us to something positive, something uplifting, something encouraging, and something dependable. He points us to the goodness of God. Every good thing, from our daily bread to the mind-blowing salvation God has provided in Christ Jesus. Every good thing, from the security and prosperity of our nation to the gift of eternal life, all of it, every bit of it, comes from a good and gracious God. So this place reminds us to take time to remember, to take stock of God's goodness and the many ways that we experience that goodness each and every day. And in this place, we celebrate God's faithfulness. In verse 56, the second half, Solomon acknowledged God's faithfulness when he affirmed, "Not one word has failed of all his good promises." Now, Solomon was noting that for hundreds and even thousands of years, God has done everything God had promised to do. Now, in response to that kind of faithfulness, we're led to celebrate. We celebrate a God who is utterly true and reliable, a God who does not fail or falter. God does not do what people are so prone to do. People fail. People may even deceive, forsake, or betray. But God does not. Now, Solomon here was likely referencing what was stated years before in the book of Joshua, chapter 21, verse 45. Where it says, "Not one of the good promises which the Lord had made to the house of Israel failed. Everything came to pass." Now, there are times in life when we are fearful. There are times in life when our circumstances seem rather uncertain. There are times in life when the final outcome seems somewhat unsettled. Now, Moses, if you read his story, he felt that tension at times, as did Joshua, as did Solomon himself, as does every person of faith. But looking back, hindsight is 20/20. And everyone who walks with God will see and be able to testify to the faithfulness of the Lord. And that's why we worship. That's why we gather in this particular place, because anyone who has recognized the goodness and faithfulness of God will be moved to acknowledge who God is and celebrate what God has done for us. We serve a God who has promised to graciously meet our needs, to provide what we don't deserve, one who is faithful in all things for all things. One who is worthy of our time, our praise, and our worship. And in this place, we continue to express our need. In verse 57, Solomon prayed, "May the Lord our God be with us as he was our fathers. May he not leave us or forsake us." Now, Solomon's prayer expressed their desperate need for the Lord, continuing dependence on the Lord. And this is a prayer that we need to pray ourselves, because we continue to depend on the presence and provision of a good, gracious, and forever faithful God. Now, today we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper. A wonderful picture of God's goodness and faithfulness to us in Christ Jesus. An expression of our dependence on what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. and an acknowledgement of our continued dependence on Him. You see, we observe the Lord's Supper not just once, but we do it again and again, not only as a reminder of His great love and sacrifice, but also as an expression of our great and ongoing need for Him. The house of God invites us to reaffirm again and again our dependence on God. And the house of God invites us to rekindle our devotion to God. You know, the flames of faith can grow dim. Like a fire in a pit that is left and neglected, the fuel can be used up and the embers can begin to go out. And sometimes people or circumstances can pour water on those flames. But when fuel is continually fed, the flame can rise again. And that is why in this place we turn our hearts to the Lord. In verse 58, Solomon prayed that God might incline our hearts toward Himself. That God would incline our hearts toward Himself. The language there reminds us that what we are invited to is a personal, close, continuing, ever-deepening relationship with the Lord. We are invited to know God, to hear from God, to commune with God, to walk with God in relationship. So the primary goal is not simply God guiding our steps, but God guiding our hearts toward Himself. So we want to spend time with Him. We want to get to know Him. We want to discover who He is and what He wants from us. And in this place, we direct our steps after the Lord. In verse 58, Solomon prayed that in turning our hearts toward Himself, God might lead us to walk in all His ways and to keep His commandments, His statutes, and His ordinances. See, knowing who God is helps us and leads us in walking with Him in obedience. To be drawn to the Lord is to discover the one who can guide us and enable us to walk in His ways. The one who can help us keep His commands. Now, what's interesting is that when Jesus came along, He didn't do away with the commandments of the Old Testament. What He did was He clarified them. He often deepened them. And He promised to help us obey them. The house of God invites us to rekindle our devotion to the Lord in response to what He's done. And the house of God invites us to receive the provision of God. God can meet the needs of all His people. And in verse 59, Solomon looked in trusting dependence to the Lord, who is able to do that very thing. He says in verse 59, "May these words of mine, with which I have made supplication before the Lord, be near to the Lord our God day and night, that He may maintain the cause of His servant and the cause of His people Israel, as each day requires." Solomon there prays that the God who had been faithful before would continue that faithfulness for the sake of His people in his generation, but also in every generation that would follow. Because we still need the favor of the Lord. We still need God to maintain the cause of His servants and His people. We still need the Lord to provide what we may need for whatever each day may bring. I love the language there. as each day requires. That's pretty open-ended. That's pretty broad. But it applies for us. It meets us where we are, whatever we may be going through, so that whatever our need may be, God supplies it. Whether it's fellowship with Him, guidance for life's choices, forgiveness in life's failures, restoration in life's devastations, relief in life's afflictions, healing in life's brokenness, strength for life's battles, or transformation in our shortcomings, whatever it may be, whatever we may be going through, God is able to meet that need. Supply it. Solomon's prayer invites us to approach God in everything and for everything through prayer. And when we live in that kind of dependence on God and what God's promised to provide, it's then that God can use His people to impact the world. In verse 60, Solomon pressed upon his hearers and upon us the ultimate purpose of the house of God. It says, so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord is God. There is no one else. God is our only source of hope. But God is also our world's only source of hope. And if we have experienced the life-saving and life-changing difference God has made, then we are to be a light pointing others to that hope. Jesus put it this way in the Sermon on the Mount when he said in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Do you see the parallel there? The role of God's people in this world is to proclaim, to follow, and to reflect God. In short, to glorify God so that all people will be drawn to depend on and follow after Him. Now notice the outward focus of God's house, the intended purpose of God's people. This place and the people who come here exist not for ourselves, but for the sake of a lost world. We are a kingdom of priests, mediating God to a lost world and extending the message of God's salvation to the ends of the earth. I mean, after all, Abraham was called with these words, "All peoples on earth will be blessed through you." Exodus chapter 19, verse 6 refers to God's people as a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. And notice what the Apostle Paul wrote. The Apostle Peter in 1 Peter chapter 1, chapter 2, verse 9. If I can find it, I thought I had it. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." That's the purpose of this place. That's the purpose of God's people. Now, fulfilling that purpose means we've got to be committed to God. We've got to be led by God. We've got to be changed by God. We've got to be empowered by God. We've got to live in dependence on God. And that's why in verse 61, Solomon stated his hope for those who gather at the house of the Lord. Let your heart, therefore, be wholly devoted to the Lord our God, to walk in his statutes and to keep his commandments as at this day. He is reminding them, what you see, what you experience when you draw near to God and you see and hear his direction, maintain that. Sustain it so that you continue to walk with him in faith. We need hearts that are wholly devoted to the Lord our God. Now, when I look at this prayer, and we've been working through it for a number of weeks, I recognize that Solomon's prayer was likely used fairly regularly in their worship, particularly at times of special gatherings, perhaps annual gatherings, with the goal of renewal. There is indeed something renewing about this place, about coming to reaffirm our dependence on God, to rekindle our devotion to God, and to receive God's provision for what each day may bring. And it's a renewal wonderfully portrayed and offered in the Lord's Supper. So at this time, will the deacons who are prepared to serve come forward?